Thank you for joining us for episode 4 of the Bob and Bill podcast. Bob, it's good to see you today.
It's good to see you.
Like you're so far away.
Yep.
We're used to like being real close together.
Well, Joyce is concerned about the social distancing thing. You know, she's afraid of taking something to her mom and dad.
Well, I understand that. So we'll, in honor of Joyce, we'll practice that.
All right.
Distancing today.
Still weird.
We have still have no clue what we're going to do, but we want you to know that as of the moment, we're going to have a podcast available on Wednesday and Friday. And today we want to talk about worship. Robert, you've been teaching worship for many, many years here at America's Keswick. And church is going through a sort of a rebranding right now with we don't get to meet now in the normal church setting. What are some of the things? You have a concept that talks about worship isn't just on Sunday. Explain that.
Well, it's the concept that we can spend time with the Lord in His Word and praying, listening to the radio, to podcasts, to all kinds of things. We have so much at our fingertips today that it's really important. Worship is not about where we do it. It's about that we do it and that we meet with God Almighty. And if we don't do that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, then Sunday when we gather together, we're going to be frustrated because we haven't been doing it all week long. So it's very important that we worship privately as well as corporately. And it's really exciting to see churches who are coming online, doing Facebook Live, doing YouTube videos, doing podcasts, things like that, to still connect with their people. But the biggest encouragement I would recommend is to make sure we maintain our own personal daily walk with Jesus Christ.
So what are some things that families can do that could be creative to help us through this process? Because we don't know how long this is going to go on. What are some of the things that we can do with our families to create an atmosphere of worship at home?
Well, there are a lot of resources available on YouTube. Great worship songs, great concerts that you can watch and be a part of through YouTube or different things like that. I understand that even Adventures in Odyssey is running a time period where some of their videos are available, and I believe they're free. But anyway, there's all kinds of things like that that you can do with your family, but break out the Word of God and do Bible trivia, do all kinds of things, learn more about the importance of prayer as a family and all kinds of ways that you can get creative and worship together at home.
So one of our favorite speakers at America's Keswick is Dr. Roger Wilmore. And last summer, he did a message on Do You Meet God at Church? And as I was thinking about his message, I thought, it's kind of neat to take that message and sort of put it into the time that we're living in right now. Roger shares some really practical things that we can do that I believe apply to our worship at home in addition to worship at church. And so this message will make you laugh, will make you cry because, well, you know Dr. Roger Wilmore. And if you've never heard him, you're going to get to listen to part one of his message, Do You Meet God at Church?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm happy that Bill has found someone who would agree to partner with me next year when I come, and look forward to being here again. Good to see everyone. Well, here we are on the last session. Are you doing okay?
Yeah,
I tell you, some of you have eaten way too much. I know I have. I was telling Lynn in the prayer time just before the service, I was a bit concerned about tonight because everybody's been busy, really busy and active, and I know you're tired, and I saw how much you ate at dinner time, and I told Lynn, I said, they're going to sit down and go to sleep, and I was kind of feeling kind of sleepy myself, but this service has awakened me. The music tonight was, oh, I tell you what, you better be glad they haven't been singing like that all week. We'd still be in here preaching, I tell you. So much joy in my heart for that music. I don't really classify what we're hearing as Southern gospel. That sounded like what we used to sing in the country churches back at home. So here we go, all right? I was going to say a word of thanks to everyone. I'm not going to go down the whole list, but I knew that Robert wouldn't forget Bill and Jan. And if he did, I was going to pick up and carry on and say thank you, Bill and Jan. Bill Welty has become one of my dearest friends in the world, and I thank God for him. And, you know, we are very, very fortunate to have a CEO of America's Keswick that has such a heart for God as Bill Welty. Amen. Yes, amen. And Jan has become such an encourager to me. She reads me like a book sometimes, so does Bill, but I appreciate them both very much. Now, it would be remiss of me not to say thank you to Bill and Grace Bibick. They bring me from Philly to Whiting and have for 20 years. Oh, you said you've been here 21 years. Yeah, first year, a little fellow by the name of Wilbur met me at Philadelphia Airport. He didn't know he was at the Philadelphia Airport. We got in the car to come over to Whiting, my first time, 1998, August. I was brand new. I was a fill-in for a fill-in speaker. And Wilbur was at the airport to meet me. I'm telling you the gospel truth. We got in the car, closed the door, ready to head from Philly to Whiting, and Wilbur looked at me and he said, "Do you know the way back?" I said, "Wilbur, I've never been here before in my life." 3 days later, we made it back to Whiting. I got in half the conference. No, I'm kidding you. It was probably about a three-hour drive, normally an hour and a half or so. I think we went through Nashville coming. It was a sight. Wilbur, how many of you remember Wilbur? Anybody here? Just the back row, staff. He's in heaven now. He was precious, precious man. Just didn't know where he was. Now, I want you all to know, I don't usually act this way. There's been something about this audience this week that's just really messed me up. My wife is watching. I call her every night when I get to the room. I can just see her scratching her head. What's going on with you? It's the audience. It's the audience. Blame it on you. Have you had a good time? Have you felt the joy, the medicinal joy of laughter this week? Have you? Yeah. And Bill and I were talking about this at lunch today. I think Bill's this ministry has gone through a metamorphosis, a change from being very serious to, and I mean kind of the old school seriousness. And you know, there was a time in church life that it would have been considered disrespectful to laugh, and it's kind of stoic. And I come out of that school. I mean, I still have a little bit of that in me, but I came and I watched Bill and Robert do their thing, and I listened to everybody laughing, and I thought, well, you know, they really do seem to be enjoying this. And then I discovered something, that you guys who come to these conferences come from the battlefield. You've come from the battlefield. You have family, and sometimes you have issues with your some family members. You have jobs. You have some issues with, I mean, you come from the stresses and strains of real life. And yes, you are good listeners, and yes, you like to hear the Word of God preached, but yes, God has given us a real medicine in laughter. And I just see it as an important part of this time we have together. So if you want to laugh, but do it correctly, okay? All right, let's turn in Acts chapter 4. And let me say, as you're turning there, are you still listening to me? Say amen.
Amen.
This, really, I'm talking a little bit just to kind of get the motor going because I am full as a tick. I really... I'm actually having trouble breathing, if you want to know the truth. Would y'all please settle down? I've got to get started here in a minute. Time's running out. I'm going to be severely reprimanded, I can tell you that. You say, by whom? Well, she's watching. She's watching. Now, what I was going to say is that this message tonight is going to be a little bit different tone and content than the kind of sermons I typically preach here at Keswick. It's going to be a pastoral message. I'm going into pastoral mode right now, and I'm raising a question. I'm preaching around this question tonight. Do you want to meet God in church? Do you want to meet God when you go to church? And I think the answer to that question from everyone would be yes. But if I were to ask this question, how many of you meet God when you go to church? The answer would be very different. There would be those who say no. So sometimes that is indicated in the fact that people will leave and say, I didn't get anything out of that. Remember that statement the other night? I didn't get anything out of that. Well, it's a sad thing to think that we can go to church and not encounter God. The text before us in Acts 4, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 23. Verse 23 and following in Acts 4 is a prayer, and it is a prayer that indicates the worship of Peter's heart and of those Christians with him. Acts chapter 3, they have extended a healing hand to a lame man. He is miraculously healed. And then in chapter 3 and chapter 4, we see members of the scribes and the Pharisees, and especially the Sadducees, who were quite upset that this miracle had happened on the Sabbath day. And they were making quite a fuss about Peter and John performing miracles and preaching the word. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why they were sad, you see. They did not believe in the resurrection. And they wanted to hush Peter because he was preaching what? He was preaching the resurrection of Jesus, and he was preaching the power of the resurrection of Jesus in their own lives to perform these miracles. He'd already said, we did not perform this miracle. This miracle of this man being made whole again is by Jesus. It is by the power of the resurrected Jesus. But they're still after them, and they're still after them, telling them not to preach in that name. Well, Peter starts praying in verse 23, and after they'd been let go from these episodes, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And verse 24, and when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Now, a worship service is taking place now. Whom by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? And the kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants with all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand and to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God in boldness. Now, my point is this. There was a gathering for this prayer meeting, a gathering for this worship, and they went through language and words and exercise of worship that made it possible for them to encounter God in this worship service, and the place where they prayed was shaken by the presence of God. Ladies and gentlemen, when I go to church, I want to know that I'm going to have an encounter with God. I don't go just to sing a song, hear a sermon, to fellowship with people, to see what folks are wearing on that day or anything else. I go because I want to meet with God. But sadly, too often we go to church and we don't encounter God. I'm going to ask you to do a little exercise in your mind with me just for a moment so you can begin to think along the lines of where I'm trying to go with this message. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being wonderful, 1 not being not so good, how would you classify your worship service? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 is bad, 10 is good, 10 is great, where do you fit? What number do you choose to identify your worship experience on your regular experiences of worship? You don't have to answer me. I just want you to think in your minds. But I heard a 7, I heard an 8, and that's not too bad, but it's not that great either, is it? Amen. Some of you might have been saying 1 or 2. Some of you might even be asking, do you have a 0 on there? No. But here's the thing. When we come to worship is a powerful thing. By the way, I don't separate preaching from music with worship. I don't like it when people say we're going to have worship and then the preacher's going to preach. Don't say that around me. I don't like that because preaching is a vital part of our worship. Amen. It's not just the music and the singing. It is the reading of the Word of God. Stephen Olford used to say that the most important thing said in any service of worship was the reading of the Word of God, because it was the only authentic, infallible, inerrant Word spoken with the reading of the Word of God. So it is everything. It is music. It is message. I can talk from my own experience of what a worship service can do in a man's heart. You can speak from experience of what worship can do in your heart. I was always the guy behind the pulpit. I was the guy trying to lead people in worship. My heart's desire was to see the congregation I was serving experience God and encounter God in worship. And sometimes because of where I was positioned, I wasn't always experiencing exactly what they were experiencing or seeing it from their point of view. But in July of 2012, my father was in a nursing home 60 miles from where I live. He was dying. And it was June of 2012. And for several days prior to that Sunday, the coming Sunday, he was in the last stages of his life, and the nurses, we were in a nursing home, and he was battling lung cancer, and he was near death, and in fact, they'd already called us in one time, said he's going to be gone very, very soon. You need to have everyone here. I'm the oldest of 5, and so me and my siblings were there, and we were surrounding my dad's bed waiting for him to die. Well, he didn't die when they said he would die and thought he had died, but he seemed to rally back, and here we go, and it's pushing towards Sunday, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I'm 60 miles away from the church, and I want to be here at the time my dad steps out of time into eternity. I don't want to leave his side, but the Sunday that was coming was Father's Day, and early on that Sunday morning, I chose to drive home and went to my home and shaved and showered and put on a suit, and I went to church, and I thought, I don't know if I can do this or not. I really want to be with Dad, and I was just asking the Lord to let him last until I could get back, and I knew it would be into the afternoon before I could get back, and And I went in and I sat down, and we had chairs like this, and our auditorium was set up much like this. And I sat down over here, and we began to have our song time, music time, worship time. And my heart was heavy. You can imagine how I felt in my heart being in that situation. My heart was torn. And I, sitting there with that heavy heart, I found myself all of a sudden feeling lifted, 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 lifted. There was something about the songs we were singing, the words we were saying, and the testifying that was taking place, and the other things that were going on. There was an elevation, elevating experience. And I found myself probably in one of the saddest moments of my life, sitting there thinking about what was going to be happening at any moment. And I found myself being just lifted, 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 lifted up in worship. And what I'm trying to say to you is that that's what worship does. We come in with the burdens of life upon us, with the weight of the world upon us, with the hurts and pains that are inflicted upon us, just in the routine of living life in a real world. And we come to church, and there should be an encounter with God that picks us up out of the muck and the mire of that kind of situation and plant our feet on higher ground and lift our hearts into the presence of God. It's called worship, and it's called an encounter with God. And I was sitting there thinking, this is something I need to know. This is something I need to experience, because sometimes when I, as the pastor, am in the pulpit preaching the Word of God, I'm not always mindful that those that I'm preaching to and those that I'm looking at are hurting. They're carrying some heavy burdens. There is pain inflicted upon them, and they don't need to be beat up. They need to be lifted up. And that's what the Spirit of God does in worship. I kind of have, you know, you figured out I do have some imagination, and I would oftentimes sit there and imagine myself sitting on an airplane, and I said, I better put the seatbelt on. I wish we could have the kind of services in our churches that the pastor has to get up and say, everybody, put on your seatbelts. Here we go. And we began to go higher and higher and higher and higher. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you joining us for episode 4 of the Bob and Bill podcast. Before we let you go, here's kind of a neat resource that's available. You can sign up through America's Keswick for Right Now Media, hundreds of Bible teaching videos that can help you as you walk through this time of what do I do? What do I watch? Great video teachings for your kids and for adults. If you'd like to be a part of that, it is a free service, but you must send us your name and email address. You can write me, B Welty, W-E-L-T-E, at americaskeswick.org. Let me know that you want to sign up from Right Now Media. You'll get an invite from them. You need to check because sometimes it will go to spam, but we would love to have you take advantage of this great ministry. Again, we appreciate your prayers and your financial gifts. From Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, we have folks that are available to pray with you. You can call 1-800-453-7942. Again, thanks for being with us. God bless you.